Welcome to another special webcast of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're here at the GPTS conference in Greenville, South Carolina. And GPTS is the Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary's conference. This conference is on the doctrine of man, and I happen to be right now over at the Answers in Genesis booth, and I saw a book over here that caught my attention. Since the topic at this conference is the doctrine of man, I thought, what better subject to talk about than the Tower of Babel? And I don't think the Tower of Babel really gets a lot of airtime. You don't hear a lot of people preach about that subject or talk about various aspects of it. And so I thought we'd stop over here, and the author happened to be over here at the table. Let me show you the book first of all. Here's the book, and there's an associated DVD that goes along, not really along with the book, but kind of a separate item, but yet it on the same subject of the Tower of Babel, and you can get that through Answers in Genesis. It actually sold out here at the conference, and so I don't have one to hold up and show you. But let me introduce you to Bodie Hodge. Bodie, tell us a little bit about yourself and the work that you do with Answers in Genesis, and then we'll talk a little bit about your book.
Yeah, I've been working at the Ministry of Answers in Genesis about 10 years now. I'm a speaker, writer, and a researcher. I've earned a Bachelor and a Master of Science degree in mechanical engineering. I've always loved history, theology, things like that, so it makes a good complement with the ministry here. Answers in Genesis, we like to focus on biblical authority. Let God be the ultimate authority in every area of your lives. Now, we focus a lot on creation, things like that, and at this ministry, we've dealt a lot with creation, the fall, the flood. And you know what? A lot of people just have a tendency to neglect the Tower of Babel and some of the issues around that. Of course, one of the big ones in today's culture is racism.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible, in Genesis chapter 10, talks about the different people groups as they go to different parts of the world. Genesis chapter 11 talks about that particular split. It gives kind of a chronological order of that. And as people went to different parts of the world, that explains why people look a little different. Now, there's only one race, that is the human race.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us are darker in skin, some are lighter in skin. You know, I've had people say, but Bodie, you're white. No, friends, this is white. If I look like that, call 911 or just call a Hearst and get it over with. We're all a little bit brownish, and that's dependent upon a pigment in our skin called melanin. Some have more, some have less.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, we have variation, but it's one race, the human race. We're all sinners, and we're all in need of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Now, what I did with this book, I touched on that subject, but I wanted to talk about some of the other attacks going on surrounding the Tower of Babel, Genesis chapter 10 and Genesis chapter 11.
Mm-hmm. I'm a little concerned because I have a habit of mutilating names on the broadcast. You know, it's just something I do, and I do well.
Yep.
And so the opening chapter says this: how do you pronounce Babel anyway? And so now right away I'm thinking, oh no, this was one I thought I had down. And right away you're going to question, how am I saying it?
Hey, you know what? The reason I had to do that chapter, and it's kind of a fun chapter actually, is you go to different parts of the world, there are people who say Babel, there are people who say Babel.
Uh-huh.
I'm from the Midwest. Most people in the Midwest say Babel.
Uh-huh.
Now,
tomato.
That's right. I decided to look it up. Webster allows us to say it either way, Babel or Babel, in American English.
Yep.
Now, you go over to England proper, they would say it's Babel, and that is the way that they would say it. Well, I did further research. I decided, hey, let's look this up, because the English language is actually kind of a morph. It is classed as a Germanic language. And yet, the Normans conquered England, brought that French root in, you know, so we have some of the Latin in there as well. So I decided, let's look up French, Spanish, German, see how they say it.
Yeah.
Now, none of them say it with the A sound, like a Babel, you know, it's a Babul, things like that, Babel, you know, and what I found was like, okay, I'm going to have to go back further to see what's going on here. It turns out there was a shift in the English language and the way a lot of vowels were pronounced.
Hmm.
This is called the Great English Vowel Shift. And they suspect that's actually when the A sound came about, Babel.
Hmm.
I thought, well, let's go back to Hebrew. Let's see, what do they say in Hebrew? And it's Babel. They actually stress the second part. It's almost identical to the way the French say it.
Hmm.
And what I realized in all this research is that when the events occurred, the Tower of Babel,
right.
People came out of the Tower of Babel saying Babel that many different ways, and they were all correct.
Mm.
Webster allows us to say it either way.
I was going to say, in the word itself then, the idea, it's illustrative, of the whole concept of the Tower of Babel or Babel. Or,
that's right. It just goes to show the effects are still in, right?
Right, right. In the book, then, you proceed on down through in order to actually trace a lot of the genealogies of a number of this. It's a little bit difficult to see, but the actual genealogies of some of the folks that are mentioned associated with the Tower of Babel and what happens with them later on, what sort of people groups they actually end up forming around the globe. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about that issue.
That's right. And you know what? If you want to figure out how to say some tough names, you just start reading Genesis chapter 10. Some of them are easy, you know, Javan or Shem, things like that. But then mm-hmm. you got Arxvaxid and things like that. But I love to trace those different people groups, where they went to. Mm-hmm. Now, we can't trace every single one of them in history. Now, the Bible gives us different clues. Some of them are mentioned right there in Genesis chapter 10, and we never see them again in Scripture. Mm-hmm. Others are continually talked about. For example, the line that goes all the way through Abraham and ultimately to Christ comes through Peleg, who came ultimately through Arxvaxid and ultimately through Shem. Now, that's an easy one we can follow in the Bible. But what about some of these others? For example, Ashkenaz, you know, one of the sons of Japheth.
You're going to ask you about
who is Ashkenaz? Well, Ashkenaz is actually the old name for Germany. And Scandinavia, Ascandinavia, is actually a variation of that name. Even Saxon, Ashaxon, is actually a variation of that particular name that kind of came out of that. Basically, the Germanic peoples, you know, the Norse, the Austrians, even the Angles, the people who are from England, and the Saxons that came over, they would have come through Ashkenaz. That's the lineage. What's really neat about that particular lineage, there was a historian named James Anderson in the 1700s. He chronicled Germany's history as well as in a number of genealogies all around the world. And according to Germany, in their own history, there are 20 kings from Ashkenaz all the way down to the time of the Judges. It says, when they reigned, what little people groups came out of them, you know, and settled in different parts of Germany and that sort of thing. That's incredible, mm-hmm. you know, just to be able to follow that from their own history.
Sure.
And yet it goes right back to one of the great grandsons of Noah.
Wow.
Incredible.
You did a tremendous amount of research in this book, and I think people are going to find it fascinating. I would assume the major message out of the Tower of Babel is man's own righteousness, his independence from God, his rebellion against God, both prior to building the tower, and then shortly thereafter, there's even statements
right.
where they didn't learn the lesson of the tower itself.
Yeah.
Speak to that.
Well, you know, that's exactly right. We have to keep in mind sin nature, big picture. When Adam and Eve sinned against God, we've all sinned. And you know what? We've seen that sin accumulate before the flood. A massive amount of sin, and the Lord judged that sin with a serious judgment. You know, this extremely violent group of people were met with a very violent flood. At the Tower of Babel, people were already starting to rebel against God. They knew God's command to be fruitful and fill the earth, which God told Noah and his sons after the flood. What happened in Genesis 11:4? The people came together to build a city and a tower so that they would not be scattered. They knew God's command, and they were intentionally trying to defy it.
Mm.
What happens when you try to defy God? Who's going to win?
<lose. laughs>
That's right. The Lord's going to win it. But, you know, notice the grace in this, too, though. Mm. This was a very mild judgment, if we can use that particular term. Mm-hmm. The heart of man was evil and deceitful. They're trying to defy God. The Lord confuses their language, and he forces them to scatter to various parts of the world.
Mm.
You know, and let's not miss Christ in all this, either. In fact, as I have a chapter that sums that up there toward the end,
mm-hmm.
to not miss Christ in all this. You know, the word for Lord, you know, the Lord goes down to see what's going on. That's the word Jehovah, which is a variant of I am who I am. You know, that's that's the ultimate state of God and existence and that sort of thing. Jesus uses that in John 8:58. Before Abraham was, I am. The Jews recognized that. They wanted to stone him. But you know what? The Lord has been intimately involved the entire time. We sometimes miss that in the Old Testament. You know, consider that mild judgment. It just goes to show the mercy and the grace of God extended even to the people there.
Amen.
But there are a number of different connections in that. We look at the Tower of Babel. We look at genealogies. We look at this history. It's exciting to see that how you know, what we see in the world is a great confirmation of the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's not miss Christ in that.
Amen. Well, that's a good place to end the interview. Bodhi, thank you very much. Thank you for writing about this. Thank you for being here today and the tremendous work of AIG. We really appreciate it.
Appreciate that. Be praying.
Okay. Thank you.